Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and today, live right now, is our Prophecy Reality Edition. So if it's Wednesday morning, come on over to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com chat room and join us. We're going to talk about news, current events, who the Antichrist is, and other things, and maybe your calls, comments, questions from the chat room, whatever happens during this first hour. Second hour, we're going to jump back into History Unveiling Prophecy, and I believe part 17 of that. So if you've been following along with that, that we're going to continue that in the second hour. Boy, let's start with, conversation. Scripture verse. There we go. Let's start with that. Looking at 2 Thessalonians, since we're speaking of the man of sin, the Antichrist, and the man of sin, Paul said, would be revealed. A lot of people say, well, there is no... The word Antichrist is mentioned a couple times, not particular to any individual, but there are many antichrists, and it's true that there have been many antichrists in the world, and there will be, and there are many in the world right now. So there have been, and there will be. But now Paul talks about a specific man of sin in 2 Thessalonians, where he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him." Now to put this in context, Paul wrote this almost 2,000 years ago, and he was writing to the local church there at Thessalonica, and he says, and he's talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together unto Him, an event which has not happened yet. So he's telling them that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He said, don't be troubled about that. Obviously, they should not have been troubled about it, because here we are 1900 years later, and he has not returned. The coming has not happened, and we have not been gathered unto him yet. So he goes, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, the man of sin has been revealed over 500 years ago. As a matter of fact, this year we're celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. That's right, this is the year, and it will be completed 500 years, next month on October 31st. We will go into the 501 year of the Protestant Reformation. Okay? The man of sin was revealed, and we have plenty of historical evidence of people who, Christians, God's people, set apart, people that identified the Antichrist when he was revealed, and of course the falling away happened. Okay? Because there was no falling away yet. There was personal falling away. That would always happen. But there would not be a church-wide, the visible church on earth, a falling away corporately. But that did happen, and we all know about that, how the papacy fits the bill of the great apostasy, the great falling away. And it says, and the man of sin be revealed. These are two events that happen together. These events happen together. The falling away first, and then the man of sin be revealed. So one right after the other. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, discovered Christ, and he found some problems with the church upon his discovery of Christ and reading God's word. That's what did it. He read the word for himself, and he understood it by the Spirit of God, and he came up with a list of things, saying, these are all of the things that are wrong with the church. He was punctuating this falling away which had already happened. He identified it. And then soon after that, he came to the realization that the man of sin was revealed to him. And he set about to reveal the man of sin to the world. And that is whoever sits in the seat of the papacy. It's called the son of perdition. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, where is this temple of God? Now, the futurists would say, oh, well, you know, the Pope doesn't sit in the temple in Jerusalem. What temple in Jerusalem? There is no temple in Jerusalem. And didn't the same author, 2 Thessalonians, didn't he tell us that we are the temple of God, that the church is the temple of God? And that if we have a visible, if we have a great falling away that comes first in the visible church on earth, and that would have to happen in the representation into what represented the church worldwide, and that was the papacy. So there was that falling away. Then the man of sin was revealed. You have to have the falling away. You see the falling away in the corporate church, in the visible church at large on earth. Then you know you're to look for the man of sin, seated in plain sight. So the papacy and Martin Luther and all of the reformers and all of the pre-reform fathers who identified the papacy and the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, as the great apostasy, they were all correct. And they remain correct to this very day. And hundreds of millions of them shed their blood for their stand. And who shed their blood? The Antichrist and the apostate church. Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Well, Jesus says no. And so it can always look like good fruit. It goes out of its way to look like good fruit. He says, and Paul says, okay, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He sits in the visible church on earth, showing himself that he is God. And Paul says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth. See, what did he tell them? Well, he told them all these things, and he's also telling them, now you know what withholdeth. Okay? The great apostasy, the falling away is going to happen. And right on the heels of that, the man of sin will be revealed. He will be revealed by that great apostasy. So he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, or withholdeth, will withhold until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. And one of the greatest lies right now has been cooked up and concocted by the Antichrist Reformation, Counter-Reformation army that has been at work for 500 years, changing the truth into a lie. And most people believe it now. God has sent a strong delusion that people should believe the lie. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Okay? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So if you have no pleasure in unrighteousness and you believe the truth, well, then Jesus said that if you seek the truth, that the truth will make you free. We don't want to be one of those that are deceived. And we have plenty of historical evidence from the church fathers in writing, even though it's all been hidden and overwritten, so to speak, by the Counter-Reformation Jesuit eschatology that began with Francisco Ribera about 500 years ago and has continued to be worked upon by other Jesuits or Jesuit coadjutors over the years, up to and including, well, the late great Planet Earth, and the Left Behind series of books and movies. And everyone who teaches that Daniel's 70th week is yet future, or that the Antichrist is going to be a singular character who arrives on the scene for a brief period of time immediately preceding the return of Christ, in order, with one thought in mind. Although many people are deceived, those who know and have propagated this, they know that the purpose they have is to vindicate the Antichrist, because they have his mark upon their souls. They worship the Antichrist. And certainly, if you worship the Antichrist, you don't want him to be the Antichrist. You want him to be the true Christ, and you want to be part of the true faith. So who knows what you believe? I don't know. I've never believed in the Antichrist. I've held Antichrist views because I was taught by people that I believed were true Christians, and some of them were deluded, just as I was deluded, into believing a lie. Okay, anyway, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the man of sin portion for you. Okay, well, I do have some news items, and Michael sent me during the week. After 500 years of schism, will the rift of the Reformation finally be healed? In other words, is the protest over? So this is from The Guardian, one of your mainstream things here, and by Harriet Sherwood. I don't know who she is. She might even be a Catholic. Who knows? Let's check out this article. Pope Francis is beginning, and this is from October 2016, because it was beginning the 500th year. And Pope Francis and the whole Vatican thought, well, we gotta put some spin on this. We gotta get our spin on this before anyone else jumps in there and tries to say anything about it. But the question is, it's the article is headlined with a question, and the question is, after 500 years of schism, will the rift of the Reformation finally be healed? Well, it begs the question, what is the rift of the Reformation? Well, it was a departure from the visible apostate Antichrist church on earth at the time. So, can the rift ever be healed? Well, absolutely not, because the Antichrist church, along with its man of sin, is going to perdition. And the true church, or the remnant, cannot go there. Now, you take a look at the church, the visible church on earth for the last 1,000 years, whatever that's been, punctuated with the identification of the great apostasy and the man of sin sitting in the seat in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And of course, the temple of God is the church. We get that definition from the New Testament, despite what all the deceived and liars of futurism say. You're either deceived or a liar, because you can't read what is plainly written by the man who gave us the very prophecy that we're discussing. He said that we are the temple of God. The church, we are the church. The people is the church. The church is not buildings. It's the people. And it's certainly not the Antichrist and those that worship him. They are the false Christians. They are the tares. They are also the majority, sorry to say. But I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You can read it for yourself in Matthew chapter 7. The distinction between the few and the many in the world at large and the few and the many in the church. And the many that are on the broad way that leads to destruction, Jesus says, many, that many in the church will come to me in that day. And if you say many, well, that automatically presupposes more than half, does it not? I would hope not, but unfortunately, that's the way it appears to be. I guess some people could argue, well, he didn't say most. Well, then we'd have to get down to arguing the Greek. Whether it's most or many, I think it's an easy bet to say that most of the people who call themselves Christians, because Jesus said many will come into that day and say what they did in his name. He says, just because someone calls me Lord doesn't mean that they've entered the kingdom of God. Like I said, you can read it all there for yourself in Matthew chapter 7. And also you could go to my Matthew study on my website. I have a Bible study tab there. You can open up Matthew and you can jump forward to Matthew chapter 7 if you need a little help with understanding that. Okay, well, let's take a look at this article here. Nice picture. There's supposedly Martin Luther burning the papal bull of excommunication. The Pope did not like what Martin Luther had to say at all. He was being excommunicated. Led to 5 centuries of religious division in Europe, it says. Well, yes, it did. And most of Europe has gone apostate. Most of the churches in Europe have gone apostate. A simple act was the work of a few moments, but it triggered an epic era of political and religious convulsions that changed the shape of Europe. On October 31st, 1517, a monk named Martin Luther walked into a church in the German town of Wittenberg and nailed a document, his 95 theses, to the wooden doors, lighting the fuse of the Reformation. Yes. On Monday, we're going back to the beginning of this year, of the 500th year, an ecumenical service led by Pope Francis at Lund Cathedral in southern Sweden were heralded a year of events running up to the 500th anniversary of the move that resulted in the greatest schism in Western Christianity and a string of religious wars, and which has sectarian echoes today on the football terraces of Northern Europe. Christian leaders and congregations will spend the next 12 months consolidating moves towards greater cooperation and dialogue after centuries of division. In the first papal visit to Sweden in more than 25 years, Francis will lead prayers asking forgiveness for divisions perpetuated by Christians from two traditions. On Tuesday, he will celebrate Mass in Malmo before 10,000 people. In Germany, leaders of the Catholic and main Protestant church have issued a joint text calling for a healing of memories. We're going to heal our memories, people, of past divisions. We're going to heal the memories of past divisions. Of course, the Antichrist wants you to forget the past. That's why he's teaching you futurism, because he does not want you to know history. Can a church, can an Antichrist apostate church that spilled the blood of hundreds of millions of true Bible-believing Christians ever become a good tree? Can it be changed? Jesus said it. He said a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And it is not bringing forth good fruit even to this day. The present Antichrist, Pope Bergoglio, wants socialism, something that Jesus preached against, that the author of Proverbs preached against, something that is antithetical to God's law and to true biblical principles, true biblical kingdom principles. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, the Gentiles, that is the other nations, not the kingdom of God, they do those things. They practice socialism. But he said, you shall not be so. That was his kingdom manifesto, or part of his kingdom manifesto. Anyway, I'm not going to bore you with the rest of this article. You can just put in your Google search engine something like, what do we got here? Pope Francis 500 year anniversary Reformation. That's what I put in there. All these articles will pop up. And they wanted to put their spin on the 500th anniversary. But I'm here to tell you, and Tom Fress will tell you, and everyone at First Amendment Radio will tell you, the protest is not over. We don't want to heal our memories. As a matter of fact, we want to awaken the memories of the truth of history. And we're hoping we can get a few more people to join us. We seem to be a minority. You know, like the prophet said in old Israel, there are none, Father, he lamented, there are none. But the Father said, I have yet 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Okay, you're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. We are live right now looking for your calls and comments. We'll be back in a few minutes. Go not anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And I want to thank everyone for showing up, for the few people that have shown up for the to join us in the chat room there. If you got any questions, please call in. I don't have anyone to notify me when questions pop up in the chat room. So it's kind of difficult to watch the chat room, but we can connect with other people there and show a little support for the broadcast. Speaking of support for the broadcast, please go to crosstheborder.org, and you'll see in the left-hand column there let me take a look at that page so I can. In the left-hand column there's a button that says Support Cross the Border. Yes, big and prominent there. And so why don't you press that button? And you can give a monthly amount there. You could tithe there if you wanted to, or give a portion of your tithe there, or a one-time offering. It's up to you what you want to do. And really, it should be between you and the Almighty. For all of you that work hard and labor for your bread and to support your families and yourself, and also want to support the kingdom of God, I ask you to add your labor to mine here to help support me and my family as I labor every day in His kingdom. Yeah, so I appreciate that, and I'm grateful to anyone who would be faithful enough to do that. Okay, where were we going? Oh, we have another item. Let me check the chat room, see if anybody's in there. Let's see. So we can mess about in this life and be okay in the next. Oh, I don't know who Tellboy is. He sure got a lot to say. I asked True News three times about Nick's book and they never replied once. Thank you for that. I asked months ago. So I appreciate that. I wish they would. I've written the book, and so thank you for bringing that up. And the book is When the Third Temple is built, the rapture play will begin. And I don't know. I think True News might be a little too ecumenical minded to brave having me on about my book. So I appreciate that. Whoever you are, Tellboy in the chat room. Let's see, what else we got? Oh. Had a few more news items, so well, if anyone else, or anyone wants to call in, other than that, I'm just going to stick to on the same vein here for the rest of the broadcast. Let's see, I've got an article here from Christianity Today. Put that on the screen for you there. 500 years after Reformation, many Protestants closer to Catholics. That's probably true. Pew finds less than half of Protestants in many countries believe both sola fide and less than half believe both sola fide and sola scriptura. I can look that up. Or yeah, sola scriptura, scripture alone, sola fide, faith alone, the five solas. scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and to the glory of God alone. The Bible alone is our highest authority. So that's sola scriptura. Amen. And faith alone, we are saved through faith in alone in Christ Jesus. And I can say amen to both of those. And what does that mean? Well, what it means to me is that the scripture is my final authority. There's a lot of things going out there in the church, and there's the emerging church movement, and they have new revelation that they get personally that guides their life. But a lot of times that new revelation kind of goes against what the Word of God says. Kind of like the Pope. Oh, it's the same thing. Because the Pope says, not sola scriptura. The Pope alone. The Pope is infallible. Scripture is fallible. So therefore, whatever the Pope says overrides Scripture. See, that's not sola scriptura. So are we going to be able to heal that divide? No. That rift will always be there between the Antichrist and the true church. The Antichrist church, or the fallen away or apostate church, and the true church. The apostate church says, new revelation, the Pope's, infallible, he has the final word, not the word of God. So you can go anywhere with that. I mean, I could have a revelation in my bed tonight, on my pillow, and wake up in the morning and say, well, it's okay to murder or do whatever, it's okay for homosexuals to marry or whatever. I got a new revelation. And I don't have to, the Word of God doesn't matter anymore, so we don't have to pay attention to that. And so if we have no standard, it's all kind of wishy-washy. You can believe in your own revelation, or the revelation of the guy that's sitting in the pew next to you, or to the guy up there at the church at Reading, where they have all kinds of new revelations all the time. You've got the School of the Supernatural up there. You want to learn how to do miracles? Yeah, go up there. You can learn supernatural stuff. It's teachable, man. All you got to do is learn how to do it. That's why you can't do miracles, because you haven't gone to school. You haven't learned how to do miracles. So you can go to Reading, you can attend the Church of the Supernatural, because they got new revelation there. That's right. Word of God on that. We'll use it to support what we're doing, but we can conjecture, anything we want to support whatever we're saying. And that's exactly what they do. So sola scriptura, out the window. You worship the Antichrist, whether you're a Catholic or not, if you don't believe in sola scriptura, the final Word of God. Even in the Word of God, God says that He has put His Word even above His very name. That's a pretty high place for His Word, and I see why He did that. Sola scriptura. And by grace alone. We're saved by grace alone, not by faith. I mean, not by works, yes. Not by works. In the Antichrist church, there's all these works. You gotta say all these Hail Marys and do all this penance, and maybe you'll be saved if someone pays enough to get your soul out of purgatory. See, that's not faith alone. So that rift will never be healed. So, we're still over here protesting. But let's see what this article has to say. Okay. See, in 1517, Martin Luther staked his soul on two revolutionary ideas, sola fide, that justification has been dependent on faith alone, and sola scriptura, that scripture is the only ultimate authority for Christian belief and practice, and does not need oversight from church leaders or tradition to be read and understood. The 95 Theses Luther nailed to the door at Wittenberg served as the catalyst for one of the world's largest religious splits, as thousands broke off from the Roman Catholic Church. His legacy 500 years later is 560 million Protestants across the globe, making up more than a third of the world's Christians. And you know what? Those are only Protestants in name only. Yeah. And they're only a third. Right? When I guess I was right when I said it would be way less than a half. less than half that would actually be true or remnant followers, as demonstrated by what the prophet said to God when God replied to him that I have yet 7,000 in Israel. It was a minority in Israel. Out of the millions of the population of Israel, at that time 7,000 men, of course, and their families would be saved. But 7,000 men who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And see, Protestants, nominal Protestants, Protestants in name, only make up one third of the world's Christians. The other two thirds are, well, primarily Catholic. You know, you might have a few Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists in there and a few other cuckoo groups, nutty groups in there. You know, it's a serious thing. All the people, it's a very serious thing, man. Only a third, and then inside of that third, that would, I would hope that maybe it would be half or close to half of the people that are actually saved. Well, God only knows, and we will find out. I think we'll find out within 40 years. So if you're with me on that, and if you're interested in that, it's an addendum in my book, and it's also a post through my website, so you could, the post through my website has better graphics than the book, but it's called, What Year Is It? And you can see it's in my book, it's in the appendix there. That's the opening chart, the summary chart. And, you can check all that out, and it shows that the seventh millennium will begin about 2055. And you can, take that with a grain of salt or not, but that's why I say about 2055. I don't know the day or the hour. I'm not even sure I got the year right. But I think I'm within a couple years there. And if someone can fix that, or they think that I've got an error there, you have to go through it. I got all the biblical references in there. So make sure you check that out. Go to my website, just put "What Year Is It?" in the search box there, and you'll find the article. Okay. Continuing. His legacy, Martin Luther's legacy, they're saying, 500 years later, is that 560 million Protestants across the globe make up more than a third of the world's Christians, but many of them don't actually agree with him. So here we go. We even have a falling away, an apostasy in the third of the visible church that call themselves Protestants, that don't agree with Martin Luther. Today, half of American Protestants, we're focusing now on America, say that both good deeds and faith are needed to get into heaven. 52%. The same number believe that in addition to the Bible, Christians need guidance from church teachings and traditions, according to two studies released by the Pew Research Center. The numbers don't change in Western Europe. In Luther's home country of Germany, 61% of Protestants believe good deeds are needed for salvation. In John Calvin's Switzerland, 57% agree, as do 47% in Abraham Kuyper's Holland. In fact, in every country in Western Europe except Norway, where 51% of Protestants say salvation comes through faith alone, except Norway, they say, belief in sola fide is a minority view, even among Protestants. For this study, Pew defines sola fide as faith in God alone is needed to get us into heaven. And sola fide scriptura, and defines sola scriptura as the Bible provides all religious guidance Christians need. Well, you know, probably a lot of people misunderstand that question, because a lot of people realize that good works follow faith. And basically, you need faith alone, but if you live and walk in faith, good works are obviously going to show up, because you know, you begin to walk in the good works which God preordained for you after you were saved by faith alone. So, you know, it's kind of an iffy question. A lot of people just don't understand sometimes the questions they're being asked. So, but probably a good idea. You have a good half and half percentage going there anyway. About half of Catholics and Protestants in Europe now say that the two religions are more similar than they are different, while only about a quarter say they are more different than they are similar. And anyway, this is a Christianity Today article, so it's probably a very ecumenical magazine to begin with. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff there that they're saying that most Protestants are closer to Catholics than Martin Luther. But the difference would be, like I said, there's a lot of Christians out there in these emerging church movement and the other names for the New Apostolic Reformation. They like using the word apostolic and reformation to gloss over the true Reformation and what people looking at that. That's why they gave them a new one. Yeah, it's funny. On the 500th year anniversary, or coming up to the 500th year anniversary, they introduced the New Apostolic Reformation. And this has to do with new revelation that people get so they don't have to follow the Bible. And it can be heartbreaking to even see your neighbors and people you love and family members falling into this nonsense and believing it. But okay, so that's one more article. Got a few minutes. And I have one more article here. And this one has to do more with the Mark of the Beast coming to a neighborhood near you real soon. Traveling, prepare to surrender biometric data to Big Brother. And for those of us that have been separating ourselves from the monetary Mark of the Beast, yeah, there's a monetary Mark of the Beast, said to be prominent in the end times. As a matter of fact, said to be required before Christ returns in chapter 13 of the Revelation, that everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, that pretty much means everyone, will be required to have this mark number system to participate in the Antichrist final monetary system. And we, you know, the Antichrist already rules the world. He already controls the money. As a matter of fact, he's introduced a money system, and this is worldwide. If you don't believe me, check it out for yourself. Yes, money is backed by nothing. So there's no gold and silver. There's no just weight and balance, and it's all created out of thin air upon usury. And the two things which God hates, an unjust weight and balance and usury. He says these are an abomination. And these are the very things that the Antichrist monetary system would be based upon, as well as being socialist in nature. And of course, ask Pope Francis. He wants to redistribute your wealth, the very sign of being Antichrist, or being the Antichrist, is standing with the Gentiles, whom Jesus said, you know how the Gentiles, they lord it over each other, they call themselves benefactors. Yes, and the benefactors are the ones that redistribute wealth, the wealth of others. That's why they're called benefactors, because they're not true benefactors. A true benefactor takes his own money and gives it charitably, willingly, voluntarily, wherever he sees the need, wherever the Holy Spirit tells him to give, but it's all voluntary. It's not part of a socialist Roman world system that the Pope wants you to participate in today. And of course, you can see it's coming on like a freight train. They're talking now about an income for everyone. Everyone gets the same income, and so it's a redistribution of all wealth. They're you know, that's what this whole healthcare thing, this free healthcare thing is all about. And everything else, everything is becoming a right. You have a right to healthcare. You have a right to the internet. You have a right to a place to live. You have a right to an income. You know, especially with robots, they're going to have a robot tax to pay all the people an income whose jobs were taken away. So everyone will get a minimal amount of income. And that's what the welfare system is all about. And this is all coming and culminating in what will be the final form where everyone will be required to participate. Small and great, rich and poor, free and bond will need the mark to participate in the final Antichrist monetary system. So, and you know, it's pretty much already here. Most of the world is already participating. It will be nothing for them to transition into that final form. Most Christians are already participating in it, although they don't know it or believe it or want to believe it, that they're giving money to kill babies, and they're giving money for genocide, and they're giving money to support this Antichrist system, because it kind of just happened. Many of them were born into it where their parents signed them up for it. But there's going to come a point where there's going to be a rift. Speaking of rifts, where those true remnant believers will have to separate themselves from it. Where the great delusion will, the scales of the great delusion will fall from their eyes. And they'll realize that they have to part from it, that they'll have to choose between God Almighty. I've been practicing being separate from the world monetary system for over 20 years. And I'm going to tell you, it gets more and more difficult because they keep requiring, tying it to everything. They keep, you know, in order to do a lot of things. So it's going to be to the point where I know I'm going to have the mark to get on the internet. So that day is coming. That they will be stopping whenever they stop people. I mean, they stop me now in my automobile and they find out, well, you don't have a driver's license. I tell them, well, because, you know, I stand on my religious liberty and they let me go. And what can they do? Either you have religious liberty or you don't. And it's the land of the free. I don't have to be a card-carrying socialist. So we still have freedom here in the United States of America. And so I get to travel and exercise that freedom, my freedom to not participate in socialism. That's a liberty. That's a freedom. And as long as I can do that, well, there's a modicum of freedom. But most people have volunteered and they're participating willingly. Even though a lot of them don't know what they're doing or that they're volunteering. But let me give you a little clue. Anytime you sign anything, you put your signature on something, say for a social security number or for a driver's license, you're volunteering. It's voluntary. You know, things that are not voluntary. See, you don't need an agreement to not murder. Right? You know, well, I never agreed to not murder. No, it's against the law. See, you don't have to volunteer for that club to be prosecuted for murder and many other things that are crimes. You don't have to sign up for a club to be prosecuted for those things because those are true crimes. Okay? Now, as far as the driving and all those rules and the road and stuff and having a drive, you sign up for that. You volunteered for that. That's what I've learned through my experience. So when I show them my affidavit that spells out my religious liberty while I'm traveling around without volunteering for a driver's license. And the one reason I can't get it now is because 12 years ago in California, they decided, well, in order to have a driver's license, you gotta have a socialist security number. You gotta be a card carrying socialist. I said, well, I don't have to do that. There's no law requiring it. So I didn't do it. And consequently, they would not give me another driver's license, which I found out I'm not a driver anyway. I don't carry passengers or cargo for hire. So there it is, and it's just getting worse and worse. I can't even get into the boarding place at the airport now because I don't have proper ID. My passport that I got in the 90s expired, and now they don't even allow an expired passport anymore. So it just gets more and more difficult. But God provides, and I can tell you that much. If you walk in faith, speaking of faith alone, that faith is, He is faithful. And if one thing that God is, He is faithful to provide for those that live by faith. Okay, well, we're about running out of time in this segment. I want to thank everyone for showing up for the broadcast. We're going to jump back into History Unveiling Prophecy, Part 17, in the next hour. May the Almighty bless each and every one of you as you continue in His kingdom. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.